The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Terrific Tuesday and the challenge of not following self. Uh-oh. And a Hebrew word study that will charge and change your brain. And finally, miracles, they're not ours, but we do get to be amazed.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. So which stage are you in? Surviving? Barely hanging in there. Living, doing a little bit better than treading water. Or prevailing, you're actually in a boat on the water. Where are you? Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You have the opportunity for praise reports, prayer requests. We got two trivia questions that we're going to be doing, and you can always just call and say hi. You can call and go, hi. I can go, hi. And you go, hi. And then I'll go, hi. And then you hang up. All right, here's the bottom line. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I think I just proved that just now. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, we'll do a quick shout-out for our good friend Johnny Hill and Men of God Moving.
Well, we're moving on now. Moving on to
All right, now Johnny's going to be on the show on Friday, as far as I know, as of right now. Men of God Moving, it's pretty simple. If you need a mover and you really don't feel like paying, you know, $90 trillion to get your stuff moved to point A to point B, you want to get in touch with Men of God Moving. Now, they're on Facebook. You can go to Men of God Moving and check out their posts. But the simplest thing, go to menofgodmoving.com. That's their website. Or go to our website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. And they're connected with the best ministry partners ever. Link. All you got to do is hit one, hit the other. You'll be right to them. Then you'll know what's going on all over the planet that way. So if you need some moving help, Johnny can help you out. Plus, if you need somebody to share a testimony at like a Bible study or at a church and you think, man, I'd really love to have that guy come and share that because he has a fabulous testimony, he will be glad to do that. You don't even have to pick him up in a private helicopter because I don't know where you can put a helicopter to pick him up. That's not the point. The point is he'll be glad to do it. Get in touch with him. He'll be glad to help out. He is a good brother in the Lord. All right, let's double check on a few things right off the bat. We got a couple of holidays. Not the biggest holidays that we've... Remember how the other day we had like 11 holidays?
Right.
Not so much.
Okay, what
right.
do you got?
All right. We have... Now, this is for the Jewish people out there that are with me. This is technically... Some people say that Purim started yesterday. Other people say it starts today. Basically a 24-hour time frame remembering the deliverance of the Jewish people from the ancient Persian Empire and the attempted destruction by the guy named Haman. See, that's how everybody in Hebrew school learned how to do that. They went, all right, now take a H. Okay, here's H. Now go. And then they go, now go. And add that together. And then they go, Haman. Like, say that. And they're like, okay. That's how you learned it. Anyway, Haman tried to actually eliminate all the Jewish people. He was really mad at Mordecai because Mordecai never bowed down and gave him any kind of acknowledgement. This is the day that they celebrate for the deliverance of that. If you want to get the information on that, just look in the book of Esther. It's an excellent, excellent story. True, there's multiple historical references. Xerxes, number one, they believe, of Persia was the actual king at the time. Might be some debate there. Does it matter? Not really. All right, that's number one. Number two, International Find a Payphone Booth Day. A payphone booth. Remember those?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where Superman changed his clothes.
And I have right here on my notes, the Superman family has officially outlawed all of it now. It's all over now. Because now Superman's, he's a dud. He used to be great, and then they ruined him. And, you know, all that goes. All right, it's also International Bagpipe Day. I don't know what to do with that one. Salvation Army Day, always good. Salvation Army, and then Mario Day for those that remember Mario Kart. You know all the Mario games, Mario and Luigi,
Super Mario,
Super Mario. Those were fun. Let's see. Okay, so there's only three other things I want to say. Today in 1977, astronomers discovered rings around Uranus. That's not what we call that place. It's a planet, but it's not called Uranus. They just changed that because there's too many degrading comments came from it. Also, in 1982, on this day, all nine planets of the solar system aligned on the same side of the sun. That gave rise to a book called The Jupiter Effect. And they really thought that because all nine planets lined up, it was a sign from the Lord that something was going to happen. Something did happen. It had nothing to do with this. The Red Wings just won their game. In hockey.
That had nothing to do with it.
Nothing. Nobody cares. They were playing in Olympia Stadium. Right. Who cares? You can't even see the sun. All right. And then the last thing that I thought was worthy and noteworthy, and I don't do this often, and I think Wonder Julie will attest to that, I don't often talk about a birthday.
Okay.
I'm very careful about that, about talking about famous people's birthday. But in lieu of the fact that my son and I went through 2 or 3 years of doing these jokes back and forth, I will acknowledge that today is Chuck Norris's birthday.
Oh, he's 80.
He's 80 years old, and we will only give this as an example, which is the kind of stuff that my son and I used to do with each other. Simple Chuck Norris fact. It is said that Chuck Norris's tears can cure cancer. Unfortunately, he never cries. There you go. That's the Chuck Norris stuff. Can't beat that. That's the greatest stuff there is right there. Those are some pretty funny jokes. I wonder how they all got started, but that classic internet kind of goofy thing. You doing all right? Doing pretty
good?
Good. Okay, good. This should be an easy show. Shouldn't be a lot of complexity. Got some people to thank and some things to cover. We're going to do our first Hebrew word study. Okay. Are you excited? You don't even know what that is.
So no,
what's so bad about it is when I tell you what the word is, you're just going to laugh. That's why it's funny. But before we get there, let's get into a little 1 Samuel 15, if you don't mind. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself. Then he turned and proceeded to go down to Gilgal. In the beginning of Saul's journey as the king of Israel, he was just fine. He was small in his own eyes. He didn't. We have somebody trying to call. They keep guys bouncing in and out. Do they want a pizza or are they just trying to call?
It rang twice and I answered it both times that it was the busy. It was the signal. So
must not be that.
So I called it myself.
Okay.
So it is working.
Okay. Well, that's good. All right. So Saul was like, he was really small in his own eyes. He wasn't this big deal. He was very humble in the very beginning. There were a lot of people that didn't like him. There were a lot of people that did like him, attached their hearts to him. Everything was fine. But what happens is when people get into places of power, and this is not just influential power, it's relationship power, it's family power, it's even classroom power. It's anything where somebody has that authority and that power. They tend to take over as leaders and stop leading in partnership with the Lord. This is what happened to Saul. His position, of course, was a pretty high position. He was the king of Israel, so it was understandable that he might get a little puffy, a little early. But the problem came down to this, that Saul was trying to lead, watch this, by self. And what that means is, you and I will do our best to follow the Lord. And then when we're stuck, we will do some pursuit on the Lord. And there is nothing wrong with when you're at a place where you make a decision and you come before the Lord and you say, all right, I'm making the best decision I can with the information I got. And if it's wrong, just help me out and lead me into the right way and I'll follow after you and do the best I can. Zero wrong with that. That's 100% correct and 100% the right way to do it. It's entirely different to go, this is the route I have chosen. I am right. All others are wrong. And God is going to have to support me. What I mean by that is there is an arrogance when we follow the decisions that we make. I've made a multitude of decisions. I would bet 75% were wrong. I'd bet. I think about 20% were really lucky. 5% were probably right. And then I'd throw in another 10% just to bump all the numbers out, just going, I don't know. I threw a dart. Who knows? Wherever it landed, that's where I went. The point is, you can get to a point where you think of yourself as the leading cause and the leading factor. This so happened to Saul, so deeply ingrained in him, he built a monument to himself. That's how far deep it can go. And you think, well, I would never do that. You just did it by saying that, by having that arrogant, I would never do that. I am not one of them. That's why humility is required. That's why the scripture says, you know, humble yourself, that God supports the humble, but he fights against those that are full of pride. You know, the last thing you want in the world is to be fighting against God. It's just the dumbest thing. If you're in a position, you don't know what's going on, just yield. Just say, hey, Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. I submit this to you. If I'm wrong, just help me out. I will do my best to move forward. If you need to course correct me. I'm open. And it's important for us to grasp that 1 Corinthians 1:29, no flesh glories in his presence, okay? We do have somebody calling in. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi. Hey, David, it's Sam. How are you?
Hi, Sam. I thought you might be calling because of Purim.
Yes.
I had that suspicion.
Happy Purim to you, and I just have a silly joke.
Okay.
Do you know where the King Saul got his first sweet latte?
Wait, say that again. Repeat that joke.
Where did King Saul got his first sweet latte?
His first latte?
Yeah, sweet latte.
Where did he get his first sweet latte?
At Mount Carmel.
Oh, my goodness. At Mount Carmel. All right.
Hey,
I can tell you're starting a new job just by that joke you did.
Two questions. One is, why in the book of the Esther there's no God's name is mentioned at all throughout the Bible, like at the book?
Yeah, the book doesn't actually use the word God. The book is in the canon for the understanding of the sake of camaraderie. It's not identified as something that God is trying to not be glorified in. It's identified as a principle book that teaches that supporting one another in the hardest times is literally the directive of our existence. So in this particular case, it's kind of like an Ecclesiastes-style book. Certain books focus on certain things, and that one, the full focus, so that people will not miss it, and I think God did it on purpose, but that's just a personal opinion, is just so that we can understand that the level of community is heavy-duty weight in our lives. And so if you go through your walk and don't have that commitment to community, there's a miss. And that's why I think it's in there that way.
And the second question is, I'm very angry with some people because one of the country where I'm from, it's an Islamic country, and one of the Christian guy just took a bath in one of the Muslims' pool, and they grabbed him, and they chained him, and they beat the snot out of him, and eventually he died. So I have a very difficulty to praying for those people that Lord forgive them, but or show them. It just comes to the psalm where David is just praying, Lord, break their jaws, break their bones. So I'm at that stage at this time. So could you just help me how to? I know God said, like, love your enemy, but it's very, even though I have no connection with that young man who died, but he's a Christian brother.
Right.
And it's like just I have a heartache for his family, and it's just very difficult.
Okay, well, that let me just go straight to it, and I'm gonna say this to you directly. It's not that your feelings are bizarre or weird. It's just that the difference between the blood of Abel and the blood of Jesus, they cry out different things. And the blood of Abel cried out for vengeance, and that's part of how you feel. That's what you want, because you want to see this wrong righted. But the blood of Jesus cries out for mercy, even though the people who did this, it's unconscionable, it's unacceptable, but the grace and the mercy of God is the only thing that can ever make those people sorrowful in their heart. And to be angry at them is just going to fuel that versus praying that God would change them so that they would understand the heart of mercy and let the Holy Spirit be the one that brings the condemnation. Your condemnation will not be sufficient for their repentance, but God's condemnation will, and having an encounter with God will make that change so that they have to yield. And so as bad as that is, and as mad as you are, you just need to keep asking the Lord, help me do better internally. I'm mad, but I still pray for your grace and your mercy. I pray for that family to be supported, and I pray for the truth to be declared, but I pray for that spirit of grace and mercy that you exhibit when Jesus, as the creator, was decimated by his own creation.
Yeah.
And you have to have that going.
Yeah, I mean, that was like my human flesh is just very angry, and I have a difficulty. I just want to admit, like, I have a difficulty to even praying
But even that you said it, Sam, is a great point, because at least you're saying, I know this is, I need help here. And the Lord knows that. The Lord's aware of that. And the fact that you even confess that and share that with the audience can be praying for you. You come to the Lord and say, I need you to make this heart soft, because it ain't going to be soft because of the world around me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bad. I'm telling you right now, there are many things that I can be angry and just completely distraught over, or I can entrust them to the Lord's righteous judgment and ask for a heart like his.
Yeah.
That's the best one can do.
Well, thank you, David, for helping me. I know that God, Jesus said to love your enemy, but I was on that status that I said, I can't even pray for forgiveness for these people, what they did to that young man and to his family. And I mean, I've been angry, even I was so angry.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But if you leave that anger alone, you know, it becomes something altogether different. So pray that the Lord will work it through you the way he works through people. You don't need to rush it. Just do it through him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, my brother.
Thank you, friend.
Okay. Well, you know, I love you. I pray for you every day.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless you.
You have a very blessed day.
Thank you, bro. All right. Okay. All right, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So we had Samson on the phone. Everybody, please be in prayer for him. He is being, I love, honest Christianity might be the greatest testimony there is, because at least people are just like, this is how it is. This is where I'm at. This is what I need. So you be praying for him that the Lord will cover his heart, fill his heart, anoint his mind to pray right in wisdom and in connection with the Holy Spirit, as he's praying for people that did something completely outrageous. And even that, though, draws him closer to Christ as he identifies with Jesus Christ more and more, watching suffering that is unacceptable and just not okay. But yet, we are still called to pray for these people and pray for their salvation. Okay. Also, during the break, we had a wonderful call, and I don't know if I gave that. Can we give the name? I don't know.
No, she didn't want to give her name.
Fine.
But she said that she called Men of God Moving a couple months ago, and she was moving. And A, she got an awesome quote, which she was excited about. And B, she's blind. And is it Myra, Johnny's wife?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So she took the call, and she prayed for her there on the phone for healing for her blindness.
See that? Wow.
She's very excited. Yeah.
That's community. I love it. I love it. This is fantastic.
Good company.
Yeah, love it. Okay, so that's a big part of it, and that's one of the things we are trying to do, is we're not your church here. We're a part of the Christian community here to encourage you. That's what we're supposed to do. And by the way, that's why I encourage you to go to church as often as you can. Here is a couple other things I do want to talk about, and this is really important. So yesterday I did give it was a pretty clarion call. I encourage people to go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org, and we told you, we are behind in rent. We are behind in the radio. We had three people step up. I'm not going to talk about their amounts, but Joy and Cardelia and Eric stepped up and were able to give gifts, and they were very, very helpful. And we're just going to ask you to do the same thing. We're here at March 10th, and I want to be here on April 10th. I don't know any other way to say it. So as opposed to me being one of those people that's going to shy away, we got a ministry here. We have an opportunity to minister to people, to strengthen them in the Lord, to be connected to one another, to be praying for one another. I mean, if you're listening on the radio, you should be praying just even for the other people who are listening. That's the biggest premise. I'm going to have to do this. The biggest premise here is that, you know, what the church is trying to communicate is that we're supposed to love our neighbor as our love ourselves. The problem that a lot of churches have is they don't define what that neighbor is. So in other words, words, people that are a million miles away from you that you don't know what their face is and you don't know what their name is and you've never met them, it's difficult for you to connect with them. The story about the Good Samaritan has everything, listen to this, everything to do with who God brings into your universe. The reason it's difficult to pray for somebody that you've never met, that you don't know, that's on the other side, that you have no contact with, is because there's absolutely zero connection. You don't even know they exist. But God brings people into our universes. And if you read that story, how the guy got beat up by the bandits and he was left there, and then the priest went by him, the Sadducees went by, the Pharisees went by, the Sadducees went by, nobody did anything, and then the one guy that does something cares about him. But keep in mind that this guy, as he's taking the trail, runs across, comes in connection with this guy who's been beat up. And that's God's way of bringing people into our universe. Now, why is that important? Because as far as I'm concerned, and I think you would not typically disagree with this, I'd like to talk to you about it if you do, but the people in this radio realm and the people that are in the audience and the people that pray for you and the people that give and support, we're all a part of the universe that God has created here in this little radio world. It's like this is not your church, but this is a part of your family. Well, I guess in a sense it is a part of your church, but it's not your main place of fellowship. My point is that you ought to be praying for one another. You ought to be caring for one another. And to be quite frankly, we've expressed that we have a need, and you ought to be supporting it the best you can. If you can't, I don't want you to feel guilty, but understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to encourage each other all the more as the day is approaching. And if you've watched the news, you know the day is approaching, don't you? Of course it is. Of course it's approaching. And so, you know, we're not going to do the read for Kimberly, but I mean, when we're talking about Kimberly supporting the show, she supports the show. And then what we do is we do a commercial for her, okay? And we tell people, look, we can't guarantee anything's going to come from this. We're just going to do our best to support you. If you need help with real estate and you get in touch with Kimberly Ellis and you talk to her, she'll help you. She'll go the extra mile. Especially because you're a brother or sister in the Lord. You think, well, you ought to do that for everybody. Well, the scripture says, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. That's what it says. There is supposed to be this deep, abiding commitment in our love for one another, cross-denominational. If you have some housing issues and you need some help, get in touch with her. You can do it through our website at hemustincrease.org. You can contact her directly at 903-48-HOMES. She comes on the show. She shares her testimony. She shares what she goes through. She communicates her Christianity with you. She's in your universe. And you ought to be praying for her. I mean, here's the funniest part. Every person that has ever called, ever emailed, ever been on this show, ever been interviewed in any way, shape, or form that I have any understanding of, I pray for every single day. I don't spend 5 hours doing it, but I certainly pray for each one of you. And the reason that I do it is because I believe God brought you in my universe. And I have an obligation before the Lord. Remember what Samuel said? Woe is me if I don't pray. And we ought to be praying for one another, helping one another. This is all part of it. This is what it is, working it out. We just do it in a kind of a more laid back, you know, entertaining, educational, and encouraging kind of fashion. We absolutely believe you should support your church, your ministry, first and foremost, period. No question. But if you can help out with us, we think it'd be great if you could participate in that as well. Not even close to the word study, am I? Time to go. Okay, we'll do the word study when we get back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, and you're not listening by accident. Keep that in mind.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
ladies
right.
And gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay a captain. Now, it is true.
Name the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the Nut House. I mean, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll do Mr. Restore on the next the next one. We've just been we're losing it over here. Let me tell you, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Again, you can go to hemustincrease.org, check out stuff on the website. There's videos, there's audio, there's different things on there. Different elements of encouragement is the whole premise. The whole premise here is to love and to encourage the body of Christ. Again, for the people that reached out to us yesterday, thank you so much. I mean, I am humbled, and that's a good trick for me. To be humbled is... No, it's really good. It's really good, and I really appreciate that people did that. Let's open this up with a trivia question. This is a pretty interesting trivia question, so I'm going to give you the opportunity. And this is for people who are reading your Bible. Which disciple said – okay, now this is one of the 12 disciples. You got a 1 in 12 opportunity here. Which disciple said – show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Which disciple said that? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. I can't thank everybody enough for just their support, their prayers, their love. I think it's great. We're going to do something we haven't done before. I don't think that Wonder Julie has Havana Gila on there. I don't think you have that, do you? We're going to have to get that, though.
I don't. Havana Gila, Havana Gila, Havana Gila,
Israel. That's it. There you go.
That good enough?
That's going to have to work. Although that was really good. Good job by you, by the way. That was fantastic.
I watched too much TV, I think. So
yeah, that's kind of sad because you were all the way there, right up into the word Israel, which is like, how did you know that? Anyway. This is coming out of Psalm 37, verse 7. I'm going to read a verse to you. You've heard this verse before, but we're going to do something that we haven't done. We're going to kind of dive into the Hebrew word, because when you hear it, you are just going to be amazed. This is Psalm 37. Many people know this psalm. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Many people know a lot about this psalm because it's a really popular, often taught psalm. I just want to key in on Psalm 37, verse 7 says this: be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Now, what I want to focus in on is that be still. Every time I'm reading the word, I read, there's inductive methods for reading the Bible, and that's kind of knowing what's going on when the piece is being written, understanding the application for the people that it was written to, then understanding how it applies to you. That's all well and good, but that's typically not what every Christian experiences when they read the word of God. When you read the word of God, you'll read it, and then you'll be like, yeah, that's good, yeah, that's good, but there's times where things go bing. And it's like they're highlighted. It's like somebody highlighted for you a word, a phrase, a sentence, a process. And to me, that's what we call the dynamic application principle. And that means that the Lord is going, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And you go, ooh, like when it jumps off the page at you. Okay, so as I'm reading through this, and this is not the first time I've done it multiple times, and actually I've incorporated this in my everyday prayer now. That's how important it is to me. And so this first phrase, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still in the presence of the Lord is a different translation. Be still before the Lord and wait. Be still before the Lord and wait. Getting that impression, right? New American Standard, most true to the Greek and the Hebrew, even though the ESV is great, the NASB is still the best. And it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. New King James, rest in the Lord. King James Bible, rest in the Lord. Christian Standard Bible, be silent before the Lord. Ooh. Contemporary English Version, be patient and trust the Lord. Good News Translation, that's what the Lord used to lead me into a relationship with him. Be patient and wait for the Lord. All these words are communicating this premise of us having a restedness, a patience, a waiting. And the word, this is going to blow your mind, get ready, just remember, I'm not making this up. The word, the transliteration of that word, rest, patience, silent, all of those different things, the transliteration is damam or daman. Daman. You want to know what the definition of daman is? D-A-W-M-A-N. The definition is to be or grow dumb. To be silent or still. Now, see, when I see something and it highlights and then I do a word study and then I read something like that, now that's from Brown, Drivers, and Briggs. To be or grow dumb. This should be tattooed to my forehead. This is all, I live in this. What are you talking about? But to be or to grow dumb. And that's where the word comes from, dumb, dumb. And the whole idea is to grow dumb or silent or still before the Lord. There is this process that when you're going through something in the Lord, what we try to do is catch the angles. This is my biggest sin, is I try and figure out what God is doing. Oh, I believe in God endlessly, and I don't know of him. I know him, and I spend time with him every day, and he talks to me through his word, and I talk to him through prayer, and through other Christians, the Lord talks to me, and I talk, you know, to other Christians, and it's phenomenal. But when you get to this point where God is doing something and you don't get it, the hardest thing to do is to be still. The hardest thing to do, I maintain and will maintain with passion that to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding while being one of the greatest proverbs ever is in and of itself such a challenge. To be still, to be silent, to be resigned, to grow dumb. That's like saying, well, instead of you figuring it out, you should become dumber so that you can trust God more. Because you're never going to catch the angles from God. You're never going to figure it out. You're never going to put his strings together unless he shows you. And so there's this call to be silent, to be still, to grow dumb, to be stupefied. In case you have not quite yet figured it out, the word dumb, D-U-M-B, comes from this word dumben. And the idea is for us to be dumb before the Lord. Not ignorant, just to bring it down a notch and go, okay, you're in charge. I'm not going to try and figure every angle out with you or for you or so that I can catch on to your plan here. Just going to go with the flow. And that idea of going with the flow is actually resting in the Lord. That's why the word can be translated rest. It's to stop. My biggest, I would say, top five sins, my entire Christianity, right here. Write this. This right here. Because the secret things belongeth unto the Lord. He reveals what he wants to reveal and doesn't reveal everything. We know in Revelation, there's clear as can be. He says, shut that up. Nobody gets to know what's going on there. There's some things the Lord pulls back and does not show you, period. And there are just times in your life where you got to go, I think I'm going to dumb this one out. I'm just going to, yeah, I don't know. Let me know, Lord. And this is where you get to the point where you can walk with the Lord and go along with the ride, so to speak, go along with the plan and trust him for what's around the corner. You don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what's around the corner. God is already around the corner. He's not worried about it. So unless he gives you a vision of what's on the other side of the mountain, stop it. I don't care if the Lord brings you underneath, through, or on top of the mountain. Until you get to that other side, you don't know what's there. That's where you be dumb. That's where you be silent. Be still. And again, this is not ignorance. This is trust. Because what happens that the Lord calls us to is to be patient and to wait for the Lord to act. Not to be worried about what everybody else is doing or everything else that's going around. And you think, all that from that word? Yep. That's what's cool. See, what's cool about these studies is one of the reasons why I'm like 99.99. I guess I'm pretty much in this whole PhD thing. I'm already pre-reading books. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is what's cool about this is that I need that. I need to be dumber in the Lord. Now, I'm plenty dumb in many things, but when it comes to the Lord and he's doing something, it's not my job to cover his angle and figure it out. It's my job to surrender and to submit and to say, yes, Lord. I had a dream when I was younger. I only got 30 seconds to tell you this news. I had a dream when I was younger, and my brother and I were together on a porch. This was my first year of Christianity, and him and I were wrestling. Wrestling, as some people say. We were wrestling. And then I pinned him down to the ground, and I'm like, ha, 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 ha. And then all of a sudden, this hand was pushing me to the ground, I'm like, no, no. And then this voice said, submit, submit. And I'm like, no, 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 no. And I went, fine, I submit. I turned around, and nobody was there because it was the Lord going, you got to submit, kid. You're too wild. Yes, Lord, I'll just be dumb. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry.
What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Ha! Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-aged line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
My you got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean that they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach out to us, 972-4450-770. In fact, we have a trivia question that must be answered, so I'm going to offer it up, then we're going to do a Mr. Restore, and then we'll come back to what the teaching is. But here is the trivia question. Which disciple, there's only 12 that we're talking about here. All right, I'll eliminate one. It's not Judas. There's only 11 that we're dealing with. Which disciple said, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us"? I can tell you that this took place in the Gospel of John, somewhere between the 13th and 17th chapter. Which disciple said to Jesus, "Well, show us the Father, and it'll be enough for us"? I will also tell you this disciple's not heard from very often. So you can pretty much count out the main three. 972-445-0770. I'd hate to see that one go where I have to answer it, but if that's what happens, that's what happens. Let's give a shout out to Clint and Mr. Restore.
I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services. That's why they're called Mr. Restore. Get it? MrRestore.com. You can reach out to Clint and the gang. You can get a free evaluation, Advanced Drying Technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, 50 years of restoration experience, and thousands. How many? Thousands of happy customers. MrRestore.com. 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Darlene.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. And how about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking me. I appreciate that. Okay, yes. So now this disciple doesn't get a lot of play. As you, I think you already know the answer to this. So every once in a while, he gets to pipe in.
Yes.
Right?
Was it Philip?
It is Philip. That is correct. Now, here's just a little bonus. Do you remember what Jesus said after Philip said that? Just off the top of your head, do you remember? Because he said,
well, oh, Philip, how long have I been with you? You kidding me? You've seen the Father.
You got it! You are so good! And this would be the one thing I would not want Jesus to say to me. There's many things, but this would be a big one. How long you been with me? You still don't know me? Still? And I'm like, you know? Excellent.
Yes,
excellent
Father within
job.
Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself.
Amen. Great job. Did you know that or did you look it up? Did you just know?
Oh, no,
that?
I knew it. Oh, I knew it. I study.
That's so
to
good.
To show myself approved unto God.
Yeah.
That I never need to be ashamed.
Good job. Excellent work, and I appreciate it. And good follow-up answer as well. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Keep
up the good work.
All right,
love
thank
you.
All right, thanks so much. God bless. All right, see that? We got it. Yay! Poor Philip. Couple of lines here or there. I don't know. If you're going to be a disciple and you're going to be like Peter's connected with so much that there's good and there's bad, and James and John, mostly good for them, but I don't want to be connected with that. How long have I been with you, Philip? See, you don't know. You're looking right at me. You're looking at me. You're looking at the Father. What's the matter with you? Okay. Of course, that's the one that they recorded. I have a feeling there were some. Don't you ever wonder if there were other. You know, there's other questions that weren't put in the book. We already know that for a fact, okay? But doesn't that make you think, wow, there must have been some interesting questions? I would have asked a ton of questions. You know, I'd have been fighting about the dietary laws. Let's just be honest. That would have been my war. Okay, let's see. Let me go into this next teaching. This is kind of, it's not of a deep or a theological element. It's not really like the Hebrew word study that we just did on the word rest, which is dumwam, which is really dumb, which is to be ignorant, which is what we're supposed to be when you're resting in the Lord, not trying to figure everything up, which, by the way, was one of my favorite teachings on the show. Acts chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. Not complex, but solid stuff. When Peter saw this, and this is after the guy that was sitting at the temple gate, that Peter and John walked in, and they had said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. So he didn't give him what he didn't have. He gave him what he did have, and that was the kingdom of God at the moment. Verse 12 in Acts chapter 3, and Peter saw this, he addressed the people, he said, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. What I like about this text is not a lot of theology that you have to fight for in this portion. It's just quite simply, Peter and John were involved in what is notably one of the most forceful early on miracles of the church, the early on part, right? Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2. Now he's going to the temple in Acts chapter 3. Bammo, miracle, right? This is a big reputational element. And the first thing that Peter says is, not our miracle. We didn't do this. I mean, that's the first thing. There's no credit being taken, which, of course, if you go to the very first teaching of the show on this segment, you'll know that's, you know, Saul kind of following himself and so on and so forth. It's like Peter's like, why are you amazed at this? Why you stare at us or as though by our power this happened? Or why are you staring at us as though it was our godliness? There's two things he says there. He says it's not our power. It's not our dunamos, not our existence. It's all Jesus. And it's not our godliness. It's not because we're sinless. It's because God, get this, get ready, here it is, Revelation, is God. That's, you think, wait, no, must be more, no. You see, verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Miracles testify to the glory of Jesus Christ. They don't testify so people can sell tickets. They don't testify so people can sell books. They don't testify so people can wear a badge. They're not a toy, and they're not a trophy. These are the two things that you'll hear me get passionate about. Whenever I talk about the gifts, so I define these into three segments. Some people treat gifts in the Holy Spirit like they're toys. It's absurd. Some people treat them like they're trophies, like they're something spiritual. It's absurd. Any gift or grace or miracle from God is a tool to give acknowledgement to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And anything other than that is rubbish. So, you know, it kind of bugs me. We got a couple of national teachers, and there's always something prominent that takes place, get this, just before they release a book. And it's like, come on. Talk about trying to create PR. It's one thing you could look at. These guys never tried to create any PR. Jesus never had to create any PR. Just did the kingdom work. Well, he wouldn't be liked in Facebook, so. And that means what? Well, the press wouldn't like him. The press doesn't like anybody, including themselves. Oh, actually, they love themselves. They always tell stories about each other, so they must love themselves. That's not the point. The point is that the miracle was to glorify Jesus Christ, and Peter and John recognized, not us. I didn't do it. This is Jesus. It's all about glorifying him. And I love that he says it wasn't by our power or our godliness. Because there are some people that think, well, you got to have this righteous spirit. Oh, my gosh. You know that not long after this, Peter gets rebuked by Paul for hypocrisy. So not so righteous. It's just not there. What is there is that the grace of God is extended. There are times where God breaks the natural plane with supernatural power and infuses miraculous, change all the laws of physics moments, and God doesn't sit back and go, now I need to explain it to everybody. No, he doesn't do that. He just does what he does because he's God. And we get to be amazed and enjoy the gracelets, the moments, the miracles that God pours out on his kids. Ah, we are so blessed. It's fantastic. Way to go. That's all I'm going to say to you guys. Way to go. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.